sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everybody, and thanks for coming back. Another segment of Sex and Happiness, a program about sex and happiness. I'm Lori Handlers, your host. Did you ever wonder about whether there's really a war between the sexes? There was a movie a few years back called The War of the Roses, which was with Danny DeVito, and I can't remember who the other person was. Maybe it was Catherine Turner, and it was about war between a husband and wife. Really, they just couldn't get along. Of course, a movie that predates that is Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? And that was a war between a husband and wife. And today, the rappers sing about bitches and hoes. And historically, men have wanted to keep women barefoot and pregnant so that they could elevate themselves to ruling class. Women became property of men, and women had to come with dowries, and still do in some countries. So basically, are we saying here that men and women hate each other? Or are we saying, or could we look deeper even and say that men are possibly afraid of women and so they might hate them? I don't know. This is a topic I've been looking at for a very long time. And my guest today actually claims to know something about this. He's studied this and he's gone deeply inside himself to find answers to these questions about what's going on between men and women. My guest is Dr. Stuart Mark Berlin, and he's a retired pediatrician, author, and inventor. His autobiography, Every Woman a Goddess, Every Man a Hero in Her Service, is the story of his creation of Tantric Kabbalah, a path to divine unitary consciousness that integrates evolutionary biology, quantum mechanics, and neurobiology with sacred sexuality. The sequel book is titled Sexual Secrets of Tantric Kabbalah, Making Love. Dr. Berlin owns a U.S. patent for the diagnostic use of apocrine sweat, and his first scientific paper is being peer-reviewed by the Journal of Analytic Toxicology. Stuart, welcome to Sex and Happiness. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much. And that's the Journal of Analytic Toxicology. Sometimes these words are hard to pronounce. I'm so happy to be on your show. I love the idea of sex and happiness.
I'm so glad. I think everyone loves that idea, but it seems like something that's, for most people, out of reach. Great when people first meet. There's a lot of romance. There's sparks flying. They have lots of attraction for each other. And then, is it a fatal attraction, or is it just that people don't honor each other anymore? They fall out of love. They fall even out of like often, and they just end up being arguing machines or something like that. And so what do you think is going on?
Well, we do have a lot. There's a lot going on. One of it is that we all think that we're individual egos, and or most of us do anyway. And when we live that way and believe that, we act like that, and an individual ego is lonely, isolated, weak, always worried about its own survival. And that's a terrible way to live and to be in a relationship. And if both people are like that and neither one of them connects to something beyond themselves, what I call the soul or divinity, I don't like to use the word God because of all the stuff that's associated with it.
I'm kind of glad you're not going to use that. Let's make people divine. I like that. Go ahead.
Well, what makes people divine is that we are not just physical bodies, and we are not just this little point in time and space. We're actually much, much bigger than that and connect to many, many more things, and it's very natural for us to do that. We are naturally mystics and connected, and so many different things that we do will connect us to something bigger than ourselves. For many people, it's being out in nature, just feeling the wind go through the tall grasses, or being at the ocean and hearing the crash of the waves. Or for me, one of the greatest things is making love. And when you make love and your partner is orgasming and you're facilitating that, you're just awe-inspired. Or being creative. Like when I write and I'm using the keyboard, many times feel like I am just the conduit for these words, and the words have a life of their own.
So you're actually speaking about a bliss state or an ecstasy state that people can get into, both in nature. It is an act of love, like being in nature and then tuning in, and then being in making love and tuning in, and then being writing and letting things come through you and tuning in. You're really talking about, I think you're talking about love in a very divine, supreme form.
Yes, and I also like to talk about it in terms of time. I talk about it in terms of what I call liminal time, rather than the normal time where people live in, where they're pressed for time, or they have to do something at a certain time, or they're working, or they're being controlled by someone else. This is where time flows, and all of a sudden you realize 2 hours have passed, and you were paying no attention to time whatsoever for that time period.
So you're in the zone.
Yes. Yes.
Great.
The term I like to use is liminal, L-I-M-I-N-A-L time, liminal time, or ritual time, something that takes you out of normal time and space and into the beyond or into love.
This is great. We've established that that's where you're coming from. Yes. And so where's everybody else coming from?
Everybody else is coming from fear.
Fear of what? Fear of what? Fear of their ego being busted up?
Well, I think they're coming from fear because they believe that there's something wrong with them, that if anybody ever knew the real them, they'd be rejected. They're afraid of being rejected. They're afraid of failure. They're afraid of being inadequate. And thankfully, I don't have any of those fears.
But you had to do some work, obviously. You weren't just born like that. You had to do some work on yourself, as we all do, have to do some work on ourselves to take things to a higher sound, to a higher consciousness, to a higher level.
Yes, yes. And it all really has to do with the maturation of the ego. In my studies, I really think it's true that the ego, as we know it as a psychological shaping of our consciousness, didn't exist until the end of the Homeric and the biblical period. There's a very brilliant British psychologist whose name was Julian James, and he wrote a very difficult but wonderful book called it The Development of Consciousness with the Breakdown of the Bicameral Mind. And he argues very eloquently that until that time, we really didn't have separate individual consciousnesses. We were part of a group, and that also goes along with the history of names. We didn't used to have names that were very individual until relatively recently. So this ego is a very recent evolutionary phenomena, and it's worried about its identity, it's worried about its safety, and it causes a lot of problems. And so if you have an immature ego, which most people have, then they're never really able to love and to let go because they're worried about being destroyed in their inadequacy.
And we're speaking primarily about men.
Well, no, there are women, too, who have that problem. Women, in general, are better off than men are in terms of this, because if you look at the big words like unconsciousness and the ocean, all these words are feminine. And so the ego is separating from a feminine consciousness, the divine feminine. And because of that, men have a problem. They think it's with individual women, but it's really with a consciousness that they're separating from, which is the divine feminine. And so, but you don't really see the divine feminine walking down the street, so you take it out on women. And it's really strange that men should be afraid of women, because men control everything in this world, and men kill women all over the world. And Muslim-controlled countries, you have female circumcision, removing the clitorises of young girls in their teenage years. You have other countries where women are property. Women don't control their own bodies. You have women having 12 to 15 children in many parts of the world. Certainly anyone who controls her body wouldn't do that. And so, also economically, women have much less opportunity. Right now, women probably in the Western countries have the best opportunities they've ever had economically under patriarchy. But even so, men run the world, and they have really no logical, rational reason to be afraid of women. So it's an irrational, illogical fear. And I believe that the essence of this fear comes because of the ego separating from a feminine consciousness that is way overwhelming to them. They overreact.
And so they overreact?
Yes. Their fear is not real. There's no real reason for them to be afraid. And so the fear that they manifest against living women doesn't make logical sense. So when you have somebody who is acting irrationally, there has to be a psychological reason that they themselves are unaware of.
We're actually going to break here for a second. So when we come back, we're going to talk more about this. Like, what does this fear lead to? Where did it come from? It's irrational. And how does it affect us today? I mean, it's affected us over the years, so we will look at that again. My guest today is Dr. Stuart Mark Berlin, and he's a retired pediatrician. He's an author. He's an inventor. And his autobiography is called Every Woman a Goddess, Every Man a Hero in Her Service. And that's an unusual book, given that we're talking about men's fear and egos and separation. So when we come back, we'll talk more about that. I want to remind you that I'm doing a series of teleseminars, which you can find on my website, butterflyworkshops.com. You can find teleseminars that will educate you in the privacy of your own home about expanded orgasm for women, expanded orgasm for men, female ejaculation, expanded orgasm communication for couples, all kinds of things. So go to my website, butterflyworkshops.com, and find out more about my teleseminars. We'll be right back.
Wondering what book you should read to jumpstart your sex life and increase your happiness? Try my book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by me, Laurie Handlers. This short, easy-to-read book will make you laugh at yourself, and it may possibly make you cry as you discover my tantric secrets for happiness and how they apply to you. In the book, I begin with the 10th law, make love in the unknown. And then I work you all the way through laws 1 through 9 to teach you how to be in the unknown, fresh, every moment of every day of your life. Sex and Happiness puts the innocence and love back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. It's only $19.99 in paperback and $14.99 ebook. Go to sexandhappiness.com to order your copy of Sex and Happiness by me, Laurie Handlers.
Are you in pain or unable to sleep? Ever hear about how the body needs glutathione for natural cleansing? Could you use a boost of energy? Try Life Wave Patches. There are a variety of patches to choose from. Each one of them is designed like a small band-aid to help your body with the challenges of life when you're simply not getting what the body needs for support. And you can use these amazing patches on your pets. Go to Life Wave Patches for Pets and People on Facebook and see Suzanne Summers' interview with Dr. David Schmidt about patches that reduce stress and inflammation while increasing energy. You can also find out more at ValerieHandlers.com. That's ValerieHandlers.com. Or call Valerie at 714-928-6399 to order your patches, or consider becoming an independent Life Wave distributor. That's 714-928-6399.
Well, we're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers. And today my guest is Dr. Stuart Mark Berlin. We're talking about, like, how this separation between the masculine and feminine happened, or between men and women happened, a few thousand years ago, according to Stewart, it happened when patriarchy took over. And, you know, I'm not really sure. I have my own ideas about how that happened. I think men were scared even then that they wouldn't know which kid was theirs. So they invented the idea of marriage. That's my theory. But Stuart, you probably have some more to say about that. So how did it happen? Why did it happen? Why is it still happening?
Well, we were just talking about the development of ego, which happened later. But to go back further as to why it happened, relatively speaking, human beings lived in a pretty bliss-like state, you know, kind of like the Garden of Eden state. Men and women were hunters and gatherers. The men went off in groups of 9 to 12 men to hunt these giant beasts with sticks and stones. The women stayed home and took care of the children and foraged for plants. And women used the right brain, men used the left brain. Everything was in balance and everybody was happy. You know, there was probably a lot of promiscuous sex because there were no taboos. And there was fierce egalitarianism because everything was shared equally. Nobody was rich, nobody was poor. Everybody was happy.
And they didn't have marriage, so their people weren't actually coupled up as we come to see the hallmark notion of love.
I believe that every woman probably breastfed every child. You know, if there was a woman who was breastfeeding and there was a hungry child, she breastfed him. It didn't matter who it was. And men had no concept of paternity. Women had sex whenever they wanted to because they controlled their bodies. They probably had the most powerful orgasms. We know that our bodies, women's bodies, have within it the power to create orgasms that last for hours, of amazing power. And without repression, sexual culture repression that we have, they probably used it every day as often as they wanted to. So that's probably the Garden of Eden state, where everybody was having sex promiscuously. Everybody was sharing everything, and they had a lot of time for dancing and singing and joyousness, and they had the earliest concept of the goddess, of who I call the Shekhinah, and they expressed that in their art, in those beautiful goddess figures, which most likely were postmenopausal women who were very sexual, who had this concept of integrated maternal, nurturing, unconditional love with intense sexual orgasmic love.
You're talking about the representations that are like the larger goddesses, the ones who have
huge breasts, big bellies, enormous yonis. And if you look at them,
we have to say what yoni is, because I don't know. When you use a Sanskrit term, we have to say what we're saying.
Well, on a show that is sex and happiness, you have to know what a yoni is.
A yoni is female genitalia. A yoni is a vagina. But it's a Sanskrit word, so it doesn't have any negative or... We use our genitals to curse people in modern-day culture, so yoni is a nice word.
Yoni means gates of heaven, where you find bliss. And it involves not just the vagina. The yoni really is the mound of Venus, the clitoris, the goddess spot, and the cervix, all of which are part of this complex neurobiology that creates orgasms that go from one end of your being to the other. So what happened? Why did humanity lose this Garden of Eden state? And the answer is that a comet hit the Earth about 12,800 years ago in northern United States, southern Canada, hit the ice sheet, and all the large game in North America, except for the buffalo, went extinct. And many of the large game throughout the world went extinct, and human beings almost became extinct. And in response to this loss of the large game that had sustained humanity, you know, women need meat more than men do because they bleed every month with their menses. And it's bleeding every month that makes a woman sexually accessible every day. Animals that don't have menses, like dogs, only have sex when they go in heat. It's menses that allows a woman to be sexual every day.
Right.
So when the comet hit North America, the whole world was in big trouble, and we almost went extinct. And the solution to the hunger that created was agriculture. Women, and most likely the crones or postmenopausal women, what they had been doing was giving love to their families that they were receiving from the Shekhinah, from the goddess. They brought love to the plant and created agriculture. And then 2,000 years later, they gave love to animals and created animal husbandry.
So men had all this testosterone. They didn't know what to do with it.
Exactly.
This is an interesting theory. Go ahead.
This is Stewart's theory of what happened.
You're reminding me of Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner and the 2,000-year-old man. They used to tell the joke that they invented handshaking because people used to walk around with rocks in their hands. And that's how you could make sure that someone wasn't going to hit you with a rock. You shook their hand. Go ahead. So men had all this testosterone and they didn't know what to do with it.
Right, and they felt useless. They felt needless. I mean, they had been hunting and killing for 180,000 years, and now they had nothing to do. And
so they had to start defending the land that was where the plants were planted and where the women and the children and the animals and the animal husbandry was. So they started to fight over land. They started to hunt each other instead of hunting the real threat.
There was now something that had never existed before, and that was excess or wealth. So the excess food that grown could now allow other people not to have to work for food. And the excess meat that was slaughtered when you had a cow or a pig meant that people could do all sorts of other jobs. And one of those jobs became being a warrior or soldier, because without wealth, you can't support a warrior class. And the warrior class became the aristocracy, and they started controlling women. And it's a shame, really, because it was a response to need. We were going to go extinct. And women intuited from the goddess, from the Shekhinah, how to make plants grow where they wanted them to grow, and how to make animals gentle so you could control them and then use them for food. And what happened was that, and there's about 1,000 years between animal husbandry, about 8,000 years ago, and then patriarchy starts about 7,000 years ago. And this is all rough from archaeology because, you know, the written word is only 5,000 years old. Well, once wealth happened, and there was a period of time where from about 10,000 years ago to 7,000 years ago, we lived in cities. We lived with prosperity. There, war had not yet been invented. Slavery had not been invented. And we lived under the guidance of the goddess. But then men created patriarchy because they needed to be heroic. And if they couldn't be heroic to serve women, they became heroic to serve greed. And that's when you have a warrior class, because without wealth, there's no money to support warriors. When everybody is foraging individually for food, there are no artisans, there are no specialists, there are no warriors. Warriors require wealth. Wealth is the beginning of everything that changed, and really the loss of a biblical Eden when everyone lived in happiness together.
This is really amazing. It's a whole other look. I mean, it's not something that I haven't looked at before, and I've read some books on it, but this is your take on it. You know, your individual take on it, your interpretation is quite astonishing in terms of the placing the years and how it happened. And it makes a lot of sense. I wanted to know about trust, how women can ever trust men at this point, or how can anyone trust anyone? Because this, the whole subject we're talking about shows the disintegration of trust of people. Trust of people who were peaceful and loving and who really actually want to be together. It's not only human nature, but people want to be together and they want to be in love, even in the Hallmark aspect of it. They want this. They want to be together. But what you and I are talking about is heaven on earth, and people certainly hunger for that. How can we regain that?
The culture that we have inherited is sick and flawed. But our natures need each other. Men need to be heroic in the service of women. Women need men to worship and adore them as the manifestation of the divine feminine, the inspiration. And so if you get a man and a woman in a relationship where the man actually listens, because most of the time men don't listen. They kind of like bide their time while you're talking, while a woman is talking, and then he interrupts, cuts her off, and says what he wants to say, and he never listens to her. And if men could be present and learn how to listen to women, that would probably solve the majority of the problems that women have with men. Because if a man is listening to you, then you'll trust him. You'll trust him that he paid attention. You trust him that he responds appropriately. You trust him that, you know, you say that you're overwhelmed with doing dishes and laundry and you're too tired for sex, and you see that he washes the dishes and does some of the laundry, and when you go to bed at night, you're feeling horny because he's listened to you. But the
right.
real secret is that when a man learns to listen to a live flesh and blood woman that he's in relationship with, he then learns to listen to the feminine voice, which is kind of like an archetype or a platonic form or a Hegelian thesis and synthesis. And so he learns to listen to the divine feminine voice. And then he can go on a journey where his own self can hear the divine feminine voice. We have religions, and all of these religions are usually based on an avatar or sage or a person who is able to be inspired by the divine forces. He was able to listen to his own soul, and his own soul was able to listen to the Shekhinah, the divine feminine. And then they develop followers who put things in laws, and they lose that. And so the key is not to follow a religion. The key is to listen to the feminine voice first in a relationship, and then the divine feminine yourself.
And
you don't need what religion said for 2,000 years ago. You need what the divine feminine needs to come in the world today. And so,
well, thank you for that explanation. It's a great one. We're going to take a break now, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how people can actually get in touch with this today. Like, okay, if you need this, how do you go about it? So when we come back, I'll be talking with Stuart Mark Berlin about what you could do if you're listening to this, how you, if you're a woman, can speak to your man, and how you, if you're a man, can start to hear a woman, start to hear the woman in your life, the women in your life, and also then train yourself to hear the voice as representing the divine feminine and then hearing it within yourself. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is exciting, and this could change your life. So come on back. Sex and happiness.
Have you ever wished for an end to pests in and around your home, around your office? Stop paying for dangerous chemicals that can harm your children, your pets, and your clients. Today in Arizona and Florida, an environmentally responsible pest control company named Ladybug has set up shop to provide natural and organic pest control services. Ladybug can help you stop even the most persistent, nastiest bugs with green, organic products that are friendly to people and pets. In addition, there are franchise opportunities in Arizona, Florida, and throughout the USA. To learn more about Ladybug's home-friendly and earth-smart green pest control services, visit the Ladybug website at ladybugcorp.com or call us at 561-276-7600. Ladybug guarantees you another eco-friendly, pest-free day, naturally.
How would you like to lose up to a pound a day with no exercise required, with no hunger, without being on a restrictive diet for the rest of your life, and no unpleasant side effects? If this appeals to you, you want homeopathic HCG. How do you get that? You go to hormonenurse.com. That's H-O-R-M-O-N-E, nurse.com. There you can find out about HCG and this amazing diet. It's a diet I've used, and I've lost an amazing amount of weight. I'm back to my college size. Plus, you'll find out about hormones, bioidentical hormones. Perhaps you need that too.
You need it maybe for sleep, for sexual passion again, your libido. Go to hormonenurse.com.
Many times you've heard my guests and me discuss emotional release techniques. Now you can do emotional release work in the privacy of your own home. In my CD, Shamanic Release in Lottie Hahn, I create a very, very safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work I'm known for in my Tantra courses. First, I set you up with the proper positioning and breathing, and then I guide you through emotional states to the beat of tribal African rhythms. Try this CD as an easy way to do your personal clearing work on a regular basis and watch your relationships walk free from emotional baggage. You can order my CD at butterflyworkshops.com for only $20. I believe you're worth it. I hope you do. Go to butterflyworkshops.com and get your copy now and walk free from emotional baggage.
You're listening to Sex and Happiness, a radio show about sex and happiness. And I'm Laurie Handler, and my guest today is Dr. Stuart Mark Berlin, who's explaining to us historically how it happened that women and men separated from each other and how some of it was not within their control, and then how some of it became men's effort to become heroes started to become warlike because there were certain things that they didn't have to do anymore once we became an agrarian culture. So now we're in 2011, and Stuart, we're in the modern day, and men need to learn to listen to their woman in their life as if they were the divine feminine so they can start to hear the voice themselves.
Exactly.
I don't know what's more important, how you managed to do it or how you would suggest people do it today. So maybe a little of both, since we're in our fourth segment. How did you do it, and how should people do it if there was such a thing?
Well, there are within the human brain a lot of voices and information that the ego normally doesn't hear because we are, you know, above it. And in order to descend into our unconscious, into our unconscious mind, we need to use the last part of the brain that developed both ontologically and also phylogenetically, which is the prefrontal cortex. It's the prefrontal cortex that teenagers don't have developed fully yet, which is why teenagers make the best soldiers.
Right. Oh.
When you develop a prefrontal cortex, you're able to go from your neocortex on top to the deeper structures, which is where the archetypes live in unconsciousness. And so that process of descending into your own unconscious is the shamanic journey. Now, most people don't do that. And the reason most people don't do that is because they're too busy. I was about to use a four-letter word, but I chose not to.
Busy with four letters?
With an ing at the end of it. You know, you're too busy, you have a mortgage, you have a job, and you never have time to do this. The shamanic journey takes time. And the only people who really do this are people who get broken. And the most common way for people to get broken is they get brokenhearted. A relationship ends, and they feel that their connection to love is forever broken. And they, for most people who get brokenhearted, they become cynical. You know, a cynic is just a romantic with a broken heart.
And right.
So when that happens, it's really an opportunity to grow and heal and to descend into your own mind and the collective unconscious, and to heal and to come back in a way where you are inspired by things that are greater than your own ego. So the ego knows that the ego is not running the show. The ego is a great conductor of the train. It does things, you know, it's like the mouse on a computer. It allows you to focus attention on one thing really well and then shift to something else really well and get things done. The ego is very efficient and is, you know, many people who are on spiritual journeys, you know, denigrate the ego. The ego is not a mistake, but it's an evolutionary transition. It's an unstable state that needs to lead from the ego connecting to the soul and knowing that it is like the pencil point of a divine train. You know, I'm mixing metaphors here, but most people don't make this journey unless they get broken.
Well, we could argue that all people are broken. So, but it's got to, people are broken with some kind of consciousness or some kind of, they have to have a certain amount of affluence and time and energy to be able to pursue the kinds of things you're talking about, people who are just
or exactly the opposite, where they're totally broken and impoverished and they can't do anything that they used to do and they lose all of their abilities to act in the world and they go into a cave. You remind me of
Cat Stevens' song, "If I Ever Lose My Teeth and My Mouth, and if I lose my eyes and all these things, I won't have to talk or see, or I won't have to war no more." So,
when you lose things metaphorically and you descend into isolation, then you are able to make connections that when you're busy running a pediatric practice or doing other things, you didn't have time for.
So your heart broke, and obviously that's what sent you on this journey, and many people's hearts are broken at this point. Our divorce rate has skyrocketed. Second marriages or statistics are higher. Sounds like you're suggesting that people go on what you're calling a shamanic journey, which is to listen and to go deep inside, to find the darkness of the soul and come out into the light. Exactly. I know that, you know, those are the kind of people often who come to my classes. They think that they're going to have more exotic sex and they end up going on a total journey of self-exploration and communication and connection to their own lost parts, masculine and feminine. And they have an opportunity of healing those things and becoming divinely married within. Let's find out how people can get your book, to start off, find out more about what you're doing, how they can find you, so people can take a journey with you.
Well, that's great, Lori. My books are self-published. They're available on my website, which is stuartmarkberlin.com. That's S-T-U-A-R-T-M-A-R-K, Berlin, B-E-R-L-I-N.com. And my books are both printed. My first book, my autobiography, Every Woman a Goddess, Every Man a Hero in Her Service, is also available as a 9-CD set with my own narration. My second book, Sexual Secrets of Tantra Kabbalah, Making Love, is available as an ebook and has just been sent off to the printer, so it will be available as a printed book. But the main thing that I would say is that if you think of a broken heart as a developmental stage rather than a tragedy, then it is a doorway that you can go through, but it's a doorway into your own unconscious and your own history, and no one can do it for you. The problem is that everybody wants a guru, everybody wants a religion, everybody wants something that works it out for you. And it doesn't work that way.
It's not possible.
You have to go through the dark night of the soul yourself. And sometimes the dark night of the soul lasts 20 years.
Right. But you can, it is possible to come to the light. You're a living example. I'm a living example. Other people around us are living examples that you can come out. You can love and adore not only the feminine within yourself, but the feminine person, the female form, yes, women, and you can love and adore that, and you can also be a hero. That's the hope of what you're saying, that it's possible.
That is our true nature.
Yeah. It's
our
lovely.
Our true nature is to discover for ourselves the path to the divine and to become heroic in the service of something greater than the ego. And the greater than the ego is not the nation state, it's the divine feminine. And it's the healing of the separation between humanity and the divine feminine, and the healing of the separation between men and women that will eliminate war. Because war and violence comes from isolation, separation, loneliness, fear, anxiety. And when you make that connection to the divine feminine, all of a sudden, it doesn't make you a millionaire, or it doesn't make everything suddenly turn out right, but you are not unsettled by life. You are not at the mercy of life. You love life. You enjoy life. And you have the ballast inside of you to deal with setbacks and problems, which will always happen. And you appreciate the beauty of the moment. This moment will never come back. This moment is precious, and it's beautiful. And I have so many times, almost every day, where I'm just overwhelmed with the beauty of life and the world.
Well, thank you. It's inspiring. You're inspiring. You give hope in a new way to people who are interested in being and in relating. And first, they have some work they got to do with their broken hearts. So thank you. Thank you so much for your take on this. I want to share that my vision for the world has been, for a very long time, women and men dancing in eternal ecstasy on earth now. And I feel like your book and your material and your wisdom in this area definitely adds to my vision and gives my vision hope. I want to thank you, Dr. Stuart Mark Berlin, for being my guest today on the show. And I'd like people to direct people to your website, stuartmarkberlin.com, to find his book, Every Woman a Goddess and Every Man a Hero in Her Service, or his other book, Tantric Kabbalah, A Path. This is Laurie Handler on Sex and Happiness. I want to remind you about my teleseminars, which are newly created, and you can find them on butterflyworkshops.com. You can download them for a nominal fee and learn about sacred sexuality in your very own home in privacy. So I encourage you to go there and to find out anything else you want about me on butterflyworkshops.com. For now, I'm signing off. I thank you for being my listeners, my sponsors, and Stuart for being my guest. Thank you so much.
Next week, we'll be discussing seduction, the art of seduction, right here on Sex and Happiness. Please tune in.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Laurie and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Laurie's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to know.